welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. Hope you guys are having a magnificent Monday today. It's been an interesting, fun weekend down here in Florida. Got a lot of interesting stuff to go over today. First thing we figured might as well touch base on was Trump's interview last night, Dad. And we'll talk about that for a few minutes and then get into some other health stuff. We got a lot of different stuff to cover today, so hold on and buckle up. It's going to be a pretty wild show.
Well, I don't know how many of you guys listening today listened to Donald Trump or watched him last night on 60 Minutes. You know, 60 Minutes used to be a pretty good show back in the 70s and 80s before the media became completely corrupted. But last night they kind of gave Trump his coming out party debut and Melania Trump her coming out party debut. And she's actually pretty sharp. They're both sharp. They got a real sharp family. The sad part about it is now that there are all kinds of rhetoric going on with the emails now that Trump needs to be killed. Yeah, here we have a president-elect, and people are openly calling for his assassination, Austin, and the Secret Service is not investigating, the FBI is not investigating it, and they're calling for Melania, his wife, to be raped. I mean, this is some of the sickest stuff I've ever heard, and it's all coming through that George Soros Foundation, Black Lives Matter, much punch, you know, moveon.org, all the rest of the ones that he runs. By the way, Putin has now put an arrest warrant out for Soros in Russia. So he's basically wanted back. Oh yeah, I'm going to read that article to you in just a minute. So you know it's kind of interesting to me that all of this stuff is happening all at once. But again, remember George Soros is the proxy. He's the fall guy. He's the cutout for the Rothschild banking cartel that always wishes to remain at arm's distance. They allow these people to come in, acquire huge amounts of wealth, and but then they are told what to do, as we've spoken about earlier, as it was with J.P. Morgan. Back in 1913 with the Federal Reserve Act, everybody thought he was the one pushing for the Federal Reserve Bank. But upon his death, after he met the Vatican, by the way, which I thought that was always interesting, he died shortly thereafter. He basically was found to not have that much money, though he was very wealthy. But his bankers were the Rothschild banking cartel, which they always are with their fiat currency and their fiat money. Some of the information that I'm getting now is that we're going to have some major problems with the markets, with some hyperinflation, with some contraction of some currency values, all kinds of stuff because the banks have pretty much run out of what to do. Now, the biggest problem with that is, and then we're going to start on this stuff with Trump last night, is that they don't have enough M1, which is the money in supply in circulation, to service the existing debts. There's only a few dollars for every $1,000 because of derivatives that's actually owed on the money for the dollars that are available. So unless we go back to a gold-based standard, like we mentioned multiple times in the past week on this show and on Dave Hodges' show last week, we're simply not going to get to a place where we can get things paid back like we need to. Now, what's interesting with a 60-minute show last night is this. Donald Trump said something very disappointing to me, but now I have to give him a benefit of the doubt. And he beat, 16 other Republican challengers in the primaries. You know, he's very... here's what's funny about Trump. He comes across as a buffoon. He does. Like he's a big dummy, and he speaks in these real short sentences, and he repeats himself four or five times, and so he doesn't make a lot of coherent sense. But he's president-elect of the United States, and he's a billionaire. Okay? This guy, I think that's just his style. I think this guy's really, really smart. I know being in New York, he's got a lot of street smarts, a lot of street smarts. His corporations have literally been in thousands of lawsuits. I think the number is like 3,500, especially prior to his bankruptcy on several of his corporations. So guys, this is a guy who has been basically brought up on the streets of New York, Manhattan, all over the world, dealing with some of the worst people on the entire planet as far as snakes in the grass and the banking community. So he's pretty doggone sharp, or he wouldn't still be the last man standing here with the election coming up. He said last night that Bill Clinton had contacted him, and also Hillary Clinton had contacted him, and they had spoken to him, and they were very cordial, along with Barack Obama had contacted him. And, of course, he met with Barack Obama on Thursday in the White House, and he talked about the high-flying assets after he left there that the United States has. And I'm inferring that's probably to the space program that we have, but he did not say those exact words. But then he said something that was a little bit disconcerting to me, but I think he's playing it close to the vest. And I talked about this on Hodges last night, because I had just watched 60 Minutes when I went on the Hodges show, and so I was still trying to just work this through my brain. I think that Trump knows that Hillary and Bill and the Podestas are so deep in trouble with the New York City police that he doesn't have to try to go in and start a investigation on Hillary. I think he knows a lot more about it than we do. I also think, I'm going to read you why I think this in just a moment, that the Podestas are probably going to be the two brothers. I believe they're going to probably be the fall guys for this whole mess with the Wiener emails and the Wiener hard drive and the Wiener computer. Now, what's interesting about this is Trump did say last night that he thought that Obama and both the Clintons were good people. Well, now, I would have not used that word good. Now, maybe he's trying to stay alive until he gets becomes the president, Austin.
Yeah.
And when they ask him about going ahead and prosecuting Hillary or investigating Hillary, he basically said he has other things to do which are more important to him, such as increasing the jobs in this country and making our country great again. Which, okay, I got that. I mean, you know, and for all of us who've gone through Watergate with Richard Nixon back in the early 70s, I remember my senior year in high school was 1973, and every time you turned the TV set on for like 18 months, all you heard about was Watergate, Nixon, all of this stuff, finally culminating with him getting on TV yelling, "I am not a crook," you know, and basically waving goodbye as he basically resigns and Ford takes over the White House. That was absolutely horrific for a year and a half, and maybe Trump's trying to spare us that, I don't know. But I personally would have chosen a different word than good. I would have said the Clintons called me and Obama called me and they were very cordial. I would have said that. I would have been okay with cordial. But good, he said they're good people. I don't know what's good about Hillary Clinton and the weird stuff that she's done and the soldiers dying in Benghazi, all the women that Bill Clinton has raped. I don't know what's good about all of the perverted sex acts that Hillary Clinton was involved in, according to the New York City police, and the pedophilia that Steve Piszczek came out and said that she was involved in a week prior. I don't know. There's nothing to me, as fourth degree Sabbatean witch, there is nothing good about her. So I don't know if Trump was using that word as a protective, up close to his vest, cards, I'm not going to show my cards right now. I don't know. But I was disappointed in that particular comment. I really, really, really was. Because, I mean, he could have come up with a whole bunch of different terms other than good. I mean, well, she's not good. What do you think, Oz?
Well, one thing that I kind of, because I watched some of the clips today. I didn't get a chance to watch it last night. I got home late, but I watched some of it online today. And there's two aspects that I, in my opinion, what's going on. Either A, he was basically informed in that meeting with Obama and whoever else possibly may have been in there, that basically if he wants to be president and stay alive and they want his family to stay alive, the Clintons are off limits. Or B, he may be playing, as you just said, really cool right now to try and prevent any more escalation with the media and the news and them inciting the violence with the Soros and the Black Lives Matter and all these guys right now. If he went on 60 Minutes on national television last night and just started ranting off about what a complete and total witch Hillary is and what a pervert Bill is and how they need to be arrested immediately. And as soon as he gets into office, he's going to have them indicted regardless of what the Department of Justice says. And he kind of just went off on that. That really would not help the situation of anything that's going on right now. And all the media would do is use that to incite more violence and replay those clips over and over and over again like they've done in the past, to try and get more people stirred up. So, yeah, I don't agree with the terminology he used, good. I think that was a very poor choice of words. But in my opinion, I think he may have been trying to do that to de-escalate a lot of the heat that's going on right now and the way the media is intentionally inciting violence with these riots. That seems the most, that would seem like the most effective tool right now from a psychology standpoint to use on national television if that was me.
You know, I didn't think about this until you just said it. That's a very good analogy. I remember years ago, they used to ask me to do taped interviews all the time. This is back in the mainstream media. And they would come in, and I've had them come in and tape me literally for 4 to 5 hours, 3 to 4 hours, 2 to 3 hours. And then they would end up coming and editing it down to 3 to 4 minutes. Now, what would happen is what I tried to say in 4 or 5 hours, when they edited it down to 3 or 4 minutes, was completely out of context almost every single time. And it was very ineffective because it would take me hours and hours to do the tape, and then they would edit it down. I remember one time, I forgot, I think it was Indianapolis, a big station up in Indianapolis wanted me on. It was a Fox affiliate. And they actually had me go to Tampa, which is an hour drive away, to the Fox affiliate there, Channel 13, to do a taping. And so I take this back. It was with Gail. So it was Channel 8. It was an NBC affiliate. It wasn't the Fox. Fox was with Kathy Fountain. And I've done so many of them, sometimes they kind of they cloud in my mind. But it was an NBC affiliate, and because I remember Gail Searns was there, and I met her. And what was interesting is I got there, and the audio feed wouldn't work on the satellites. They sent an entire camera. So I refused to go back to do this taping. So they took an entire camera crew back to the house, and they filmed me for hours. And they basically, you know, had a satellite right there at the house, and they beamed it up and gave it right to the affiliate up there in the Midwest. And I remember they gave me their word in writing, that they would put my 800 number down back in the 90s. This was in the 90s. And they would put my 800 number on the screen so people could have a way to contact me, because remember, we didn't have the internet back then. And they didn't do it. I spent all that time, all that energy. They never put my phone number on there. The show aired. I never got a copy of it, which I was supposed to do in writing. They were giving me a copy of the show. They edited it down. They never gave me an 800 number. They never had any way to contact me. And when I called them up, they told me it had run. And I asked them why I didn't get any response. And they said, well, we didn't put your 800 number in there. And I'm like, why didn't you? He said, well, we didn't want to. I said, I have it in writing that you were going to do that. And they said, we don't care. Sue us. Click. That was it. Okay? This is what happens. And you're absolutely right, Austin. They break you down into sound bites. When Sarah Palin was interviewing with Katie Couric a few years ago when she was running for the presidency, I'll never forget, they interviewed her for like 18 hours. They spent like 2 or 3 days with her up in Alaska when she was still governor. And finally, it came to this interview that she sat down with Katie, and then they interviewed and interviewed and interviewed. She made like 3 mistakes, 3 gaffes in this 18 hours. And they turned those 3 mistakes into sound bites, 30-second sound bites, and they played them over and over and over and over until they completely discredited Sarah Palin. Now, you're absolutely right. If Trump would have said, we're going to kill the witch, we're going to hang the witch in the courthouse steps, we're going to hang her in front of Congress, blah, 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 it would have, everybody in the media would have picked that up, and it would have given them another sound bite to continue to allow George Soros to do what he's doing with Black Lives Matter, MoveOn.org, and all these staged riots that are going on all over the United States. Because you have to ask yourself, they're bringing in busloads of these people. They're bringing in busloads to riot. They're paying them to riot. They're paying them to do things that are bad. They're covering their bond if they get busted. All of this stuff. So this is all fabrication. It's all part of the narrative. They don't want people to realize how big of a victory Donald Trump actually had. Excellent analogy, Austin. They would have reduced Donald Trump into 30-second sound bites. They would have blitzed the entire media with that, and it would have given fuel to escalate. But you are correct. He did defang the entire media last night, though I would not have said good. I would have said they were very cordial to me. And I have no interest at this point in, you know, prosecuting her. I have other things to do with my life. He could have said that because he may know that New York City police or anybody else is going after him. Now, let's talk about Podesta and his brother right now. This is an article out of State of the Union, and it says, for those many citizen journalists who are in the know, Pizzagate was immediately recognized as a scandal that would literally take down the U.S. federal government after it dissolves the Democratic Party. Now, I don't know if it's going to do all of that, but this is what's talking about. The epic and rapidly unfolding crime spree has all the elements to incriminate many leading politicians and the D.C. power brokers, well-known globalists, and beltway lobbyists. Truly, this is a scandal the American people have been waiting for. Of all scandals that end in gate, it is the pedophile Pizzagate that has the potential to do the most damage to the existing criminal power structure that was shoehorned into power in Washington, D.C. by the world shadow government. The political structure has been recently dominated by Podestas and the Pelosis, the Obamas, the Clintons, the Reeds, the Ryans, has been fastidiously kept in check via an extremely effective strategy that irreversibly compromises and corrupts the political classes. Of course, this is done by setting up the politician with lurid sex crimes, especially those with child, sexual abuse, and trafficking. Even many good politicians are lured into attending an event that is presented in one fashion, only for them to be treated to a satanic child sex ritual late in the night when they should have been at home in bed. Their very attendance at such a scandalous crime scene allows them to be blackmailed and or bribed over the rest of their political career. Do you see how Congress is kept forever in perfect check by their globalists and overlords, the Zionist plotters, and the Jesuit masters? This is what this article is saying. I'm quoting this. And why Congress never really investigates itself or prosecutes the president except to root out that they're really good guys and gals. That's all about to change. The recent exposure of Pizzagate has changed the whole Washington-controlled dynamic with each odious revelation. Odious means it stinks, right? Revelation, the secret subculture within the Beltway has been exposed in ways that are both shocking and earth-shattering. Citizen reporters who are researching the story are zealous and resolute in their journalistic pursuit of the truth. Many of them have children and will not let this multi-decade satanic child pedophile crime spree go unreported in all of its grisly detail. For those of you who are uninitiated in this realm of pedophilia in the corridors of power, the following links, and it gives you a bunch of links you can go to. What the reader has been exposed to, by the way, of the unprecedented, of the preceding exposes that citizen journalism at its very best. Each of these media warriors has basically staked their life to prove who these guys are and what they are. Engaged citizen journalism around the world is going full force, and the globalist elites are getting nervous. We are uncovering hard circumstantial evidence that needs to be followed up by law enforcement authorities who have not themselves been corrupted by the pedophile blackmail that has engulfed our world. This is all part of the satanic rituals. People, especially those who have been involved with child pornography, sex scandal, satanic rituals, blackmail, and, quote, pizza parties, these are these child parties, need to start coming forward, as humanity cannot make spiritual progress as long as these satanic forces lurk behind compromised politicians, government officials, churches, community leaders, and mostly the elite who continue to rule and enslave we the people from their lofty thrones of power and money. Now, guys, this is interesting to me because now they're talking about Anthony Weiner, Anthony Podesta, and John Podesta, and the abduction of children. Now, I'm not going to read all of this. You guys can go to that article and read it yourself, but and plus you can look at all the hyperlinks. But, guys, this is what I was talking about with the Clinton Foundation and all of the interlocking links to all of these other crime networks in the pedophilia, the child sex, the Satanism, all of the stuff that was going on in the Clinton emails that she'd had off her server and here with Podesta and with Weiner and with Huma, all of the stuff that I referred to last year, if the entire network was exposed, it would bring down the criminal cabal of the Washington government. And I think that's what Trump's trying to avoid, because he's bringing in some key people who know how to run the corrupt system because it's so corrupt. This is exactly what happened in Nazi Germany at the end of World War II, when Patton brought in a lot of the German leaders and ex-Nazis who were running the railroads and the power stations and restored them back to their previous positions in running the railroads and the power stations and the everything else in the power grid. And he was criticized by the NATO allies. Of course, they didn't have NATO by then. He was criticized by the allies, saying that, hey, why are you putting these Nazis back in power? He goes, look, you find me somebody else who can run the railroads. You find me somebody else who can run the power stations. You find me somebody else who can keep the trains on time so these people don't all starve to death. You find somebody else that can run this infrastructure. These guys know how everything works and how to get it back on the grid again. So these guys need to stay in power until we get people cross-trained. That might be what Trump is doing right now, Austin, because Washington is so corrupt and so seedy and so sick and so many perverts. The problem is the perverts are almost everywhere, and the perverts run everything, so perhaps they have to keep people in power for a short time until he can find replacements for them. What do you think?
Yeah, I definitely think that's another very, very insightful idea on that as far as why. And the other aspect I thought of it, too, is that you think about it right now, like I said earlier, from a psychological standpoint, really taking the wind out of the sails out of the entire New World Order media complex happened last night, because now the media has really no fuel to throw anything on his first debut as president-elect. Also, too, he really has to start, and he's like you said, I think he's very smart, he has to start handling situations more as a president, or presidentially. You know, before, nobody thought he was going to be president. Like you said, they kind of thought he was just like a buffoon. Like, oh, whatever, Trump's never going to win this and that. He's always cutting up. He's always making jokes. He's always, you know, hammering on everybody. And he did a good job at doing that from that angle. Now, he got elected. He won. You know, he won fair and square, and he handled it now. So now he kind of has to come in and handle the situation a little bit more politely, at least until he gets in to office, because there's a lot of things right now that can happen in a period of almost 3 months. So I think he knows that, and also, too, he wants, in my opinion, like, again, from a psychological standpoint, I would want to try and schmooze all these people, like you said, that are in this area with the globalists and Clintons and Obama and all that, to kind of look at their perspective and make them think that, okay, we're cool on this, we're cool on that. And then once he's elected president, it can be a completely different story. But right now, he definitely has to play the field very, very gently to keep everything kind of under control, especially with as much of the rioting that George Soros is producing with the mainstream media inciting a lot of it.
That's true. Now, I've got another source here. I'm not going to quote him, so I'm not going to tell you if it's accurate or not, because I have to. This is one of those you got to take with a grain of salt. But he basically says that in the war against this global elite mafia, the election of Donald Trump as president of the United States is as the Russian victory was at Stalingrad for World War II. It's a turning tide, it's like a victory. However, it also means the war is far from over. This is how the source who was in a secret meeting, and this is how a source who was in a secret meeting in Antarctica on November the 8th declared the situation. Okay, he's not citing his sources either. The whole election strategy changed when John Kerry went to Antarctica as he was ordered. He was told by the special elite, who were still in control of this planet, to tell Obama and Clinton to back off and let Trump win. As we know, Hillary is only the front for a cabal and will most likely self-terminate within a few months at the most. Bill Clinton is at the end game now. His quadruple bypass surgery is not able to pump blood through his lifeless body anymore, and we are informed that he will be dead by the end of the year. Guys, this is all speculation. This order to Kerry was followed by a special forces attack on a base close to Denver that successfully stopped the cabal efforts via computer hacking to steal the U.S. election. The Pentagon, for their part, says mass arrest will begin right after the election, but hurt Hillary has cried a river when told to concede or should be arrested. President Obama was ordered to stay in D.C., finish ISIS, and stop delaying the global currency reset and meet Trump to ensure a smooth transition. Okay, wow. So, guys, now whether any of this stuff is accurate, who in the world knows? All I know is this, is we've been saying the same thing, that Hillary and Bill's life expectancy is that of a blind mosquito, which is like 24 hours at this point. And so it's a major, major problem for these guys. And maybe that's what Trump knows. Maybe Trump knows that they're going to be taken care of. And so why in the world do you have to prosecute somebody who's not even going to be here? Who knows what's going to happen, Austin? We'll find out soon enough.
Yeah, absolutely. And that was my thought on it. Her lifestyle with her and Bill have caught up with him. We already know she's got some serious, serious health problems. And the truth is, he probably won't even have to prosecute her. She will probably check out herself with the the level of, you know, her basically just her body. I mean, the Bill looks horrible. When you saw him that last debate, I mean, he literally looked like he was dying. So there's no telling what's going on with him.
Well, remember, she face planted on 9/11 this last couple months
exactly.
ago.
Exactly. That's what I was just only 2 months
the
ago.
The news in New York reported her as dead. I mean, and suddenly you got a woman who can barely walk, who looks like she's 80 years old from her lifestyle choices, show up at debates looking like she's 45 years old. I mean, that's some weird stuff that we've witnessed on these debates, guys. I mean, how in the world can a 70-year-old who did a face plant, who's basically dying of Parkinson's disease, who can't keep her head straight, suddenly start doing all of these debates and nothing's wrong with her anymore? I mean, really? I mean, what in the world are these guys doing? And I mean, I have one lady that I know I get emails from. She just swears up and down Hillary's been cloned and they're using her clone. Now, whether or not she's been cloned or not, because we do have that technology. We do have that technology, but they're not telling us about it. I have no idea, but sure it's funny to me. As some of these photographs of her, she looks like she's about to die, geriatric, all used up, spent out. And all of a sudden she looks like she's lighter, running up and down stairs. I mean, how did all that happen so fast is what I want to know after she did the face plant on 9/11. By the way, France is set to extend its state of emergency nationally again. Yep. The state of emergency in France is likely to be extended again because of the ongoing terrorist threats as the country enters the presidential election campaign period. French Prime Minister Manuel Valls told the BBC that it would be difficult to end the state of emergency, especially since we are going to begin a presidential campaign in a few weeks, so we must protect our country. Initially, the state of emergency was introduced by President Hollande immediately following the Paris attacks on November the 13th, 2015, which, by the way, appears to be another false flag if you look at that in detail. After the horrific attack in Nice that summer, which left 84 people dead, the National Assemblies extended the state of emergency for another 6 months until the end of January 2017. So, guys, I don't know what's going on. When I was in Europe, I told you guys this last April and May, machine guns everywhere. You couldn't even go into churches in Italy without going through metal screeners and pat downs. So we just chose not to go through the churches. I wasn't going to deal with all that. I mean, it's awful. The military is everywhere. Machine guns, attack dogs, their version of MRAPs, you know, parked on the streets. This is what they want to bring to the United States, or basically Obama does. And guys, I'm like, I hope you guys are like I am about this. I'm so ready to see that gay Kenyan out of the White House. I am so ready to see him gone. And that Michelle, if whether she's a transvestite, a tranny like Joan Rivers called her, or she's not, I have no idea. All I know is I don't want to see her with her hatred towards the United States. I want those people out of my life, out of my sight, gone forever. That's what I want for the Obamas. I don't ever want to see them again with their $100 million vacations they've taken over the years. Gone, good riddance, goodbye. As far as I'm concerned, same thing with the Clintons. I don't want to see these weirdos anywhere again. What do you think, son?
No, you're absolutely right. He's just the gift that keeps on giving. I got this article this morning. Remember on November 4th, it was basically the weekend before the election, the FBI came out and said they weren't going to indict her. All this stuff was coming out on the news right before the election. Well, nice for Obama, because he loves to do this stuff secretly. That Friday night on November 4th, Obama quietly signed an executive order titled Advancing the Global Health Security Agenda to Achieve a World Safe and Secure from Infectious Disease Threat. Now, that sounds like a magnificent name, and that sounds like a great idea to keep the world safe from infectious threats. That, however, is not at all what it appears to be. Everybody's been reading through this now. And essentially, what this policy does is it signs into law with the UN, again, like all this stuff, a multifaceted, multi-country initiative intended to basically prevent infectious diseases. Basically, the agenda is to push vaccines and normalize quarantine procedures across nations during any type of outbreak. The GHSA immunization agenda states that participating countries must have, and I quote, a functioning national vaccine delivery system with nationwide reach, effective distributions, access for marginalized populations, adequate cold chain, and ongoing quality control. Listen to this, at least 90% coverage of the country's 15-month-old population with at least one dose of measles-containing vaccine. Another notable action terms they're doing in here is conducting routine immunization activities, implement case-based surveillance, and achieve document vaccination of healthcare workers. Bill Gates provided the CDC, of course he did, with a surveillance tool that helps identify district-level measles risk based on immunization records, guys. A surveillance tool to identify district-level measles risk based on immunization records. That is clearly stating they're going to comb through this like the NSA does, and they're going to look at the entire population of the U.S. in district areas and figure out who has been vaccinated and who has not been vaccinated, because you will have your papers or you don't have your papers. Remember, we already talked about the CDC now has the power to detain and quarantine people without due process, and they define pre-communicable stage to mean the stage beginning upon an individual's earliest opportunity for exposure to an infectious agent, meaning you don't even have to be carrying that. You don't even have to be showing symptoms of it. They consider that to be the beginning stage. I went into detail, if you guys want to listen to the show, about 2 months back when this came out. But guys, this was one of those unbelievably ridiculous, tyrannical, totalitarian, police state, medical tyranny, executive orders that he just put into law, and not a single blip about it on the regular media at all. And we're just now finding out about it, almost a week and a half later, that he signed this into office, Dad. This whole thing is an absolute nightmare. Again, what it's designed to do is get an entire grid going so they know every person that's been vaccinated, every person that hasn't been vaccinated, and they can send the CDC SWAT teams to your house and forcibly vaccinate you or quarantine you and take you to a FEMA camp. As we already know, they've established dozens, if not hundreds of them, all across the country. So this is another thing we're seeing now, all this stuff sliding into the last minute. So really, I hope that this is one of those executive orders that Trump can basically eliminate or rewrite, but there's absolutely no reason to be giving the UN this control or any country this type of control of its population with vaccine usage, Deb.
Well, again, we're going to see if Trump's for real.
Yeah.
He said now he's going to get rid of all of these unconstitutional, you know, executive orders, because he'd get rid of them with the stroke of a pen. He could basically write an executive order to kill Obama's executive orders. And he says he's going to do that like the first day in office. He's going to get rid of like a bunch of these. Now, here's what's interesting about this. There was a guy by the name of Jim Jones way back when down in South America. I think it was in Guyana. And he basically he was like running a cult down there. And what they would do is they would go in and they would have people drink Kool-Aid that had strychnine or poison in it. And what he would do is he would tell people that it was poisoned or that it might be poisoned. And he had them do this routine, drinking the Kool-Aid, 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 until nobody ever died. So everybody just thought, whatever, it was just a joke. Well, then finally the government was going to come there and shut him down. And so he gave them the real Kool-Aid to drink that had the real poison. And there were like literally close to, I think, 1,000 people died from drinking the Kool-Aid. That's where you get the term drinking the Kool-Aid, was for the Jim Jones massacre down there. Now, what was interesting about this is, here's the deal. Now, listen to me. A lot of you are thinking, well, if it's that big of a deal, I'm just going to take the immunization. Okay, you're drinking the Kool-Aid.
Yep.
Let me tell you what I'm talking about. You're drinking the Kool-Aid. Here's why. They got a needle, and they got a syringe, and they got a vial. You have absolutely no idea what's in that vial.
Nope.
I don't know what's in that vial. Chances are the person giving you that shot does not know what's in the vial. They're just doing what they're told to do. So here you have a group of people manufacturing vaccines that no one knows what they are. A few years ago with Baxter Labs out of Switzerland, they shipped, I believe it was to Yugoslavia, they shipped thousands and thousands of vials. I believe it was the swine flu or bird flu vaccine. I forgot which one it was. You can look it up online. And one of the guys tested it on his ferrets in the cage before he distributed it throughout the population, and they had intentionally shipped live vaccines that were basically deadly. And the ferrets that he tested on were dead the next morning. Now, if that had gotten distributed to hundreds of thousands of people and all these shots would have been administered simultaneously on the same days, then literally you'd had hundreds of thousands of deaths within a few weeks, if not a few days. Now, guys, this is the problem. They can inject you with something that's going to kill you in a week, or 2 weeks, or 3 weeks, or 4 weeks, depending on what level they want to kill. And what they can do at that point is it can be a sustained or timed-released product that you don't know what it's going to do within a week or 2 weeks or 3 weeks, because you have no idea. And so all of a sudden, 100 million people get the vaccine and nobody's dead. Everybody's fine. Then another 100 million get the vaccine and nobody's dead. Well, then another 100 million get the vaccine and nobody's dead. All of a sudden, 2 weeks later, 300 million are dead. Okay, all of a sudden it's, oh my gosh, you know, we didn't get to this on time. Look what happened. This thing was a pandemic. It spread. We didn't vaccinate them on time. These guys are that evil. Now, whether or not Trump is going to be able to stop all of this stuff or not, I have absolutely no idea, because he may have already had the talk last Thursday with Obama in the White House. They were supposed to go for 15 minutes. It went for an hour and a half. So Trump may have gotten the talk. I don't know. Now, the talk means that, you know, we're not in control of this planet. There's extra-dimensional entities that are in control of the planet. Even we could even start talking about a fallen angel agenda. We can start talking about Roswell. We can start talking about the secret government. We can talk about the shadow government. We can talk about the deep state. All of these things may have been brought up to Trump all of a sudden while he was in the White House with Obama. We don't know, because the press wasn't allowed. But what's interesting about all of this stuff is, guys, listen to me, please. If they show up with a needle and they say, we're going to have to inject you now, me and my family, I to guarantee you, Austin is the same way. This is going to be a big, I don't think so, not today, no thank you, go away. It ain't going to happen. They're not going to come to my front door with needles. I have no idea what they're about to inject me with, especially because we have this huge show now that goes all over the world. They know who we are. There's no question about that. So the truth of the matter is, I'm not going to be in a situation where I trust what they're planning on doing to me. I don't have a ticket to an underground bunker complex. I've managed not to get one of those with everything that I've said. So the truth is, they're not going to come and inject me with something that I have no idea what it is. Now, we already know just the flu shot alone. Three injections of the flu shot with those over 50 years of age increase the risks of senile dementia by 50%. You know, Austin has a grandfather, great guy, former military colonel, just mental acuity is going down and down and down and down. Every year he gets another flu shot. He's got a wife, sick as a dog. This is not Sharon's mother, this is a stepmother. She's getting sicker and sicker and sicker and sicker. Every year she gets more flu shots. Every year they put her on more medications for lupus and everything else. And guys, this is where they want all of us to be. If they can control you through meds, if they can control you through shots, if they can control you through the pharmacopoeia, if they can control you through this tyranny of the medical complex, they can control you. They want to reduce the population of the planet. Remember, to overcome a massive nuclear war, they decided there was one of three things to do: blow a hole in the ionosphere to vent the planet of nuclear waste and war and trash. Number two, go off world. And number three, build deep underground, you know, bunker complexes. And of course, all of it involved the use of reducing the population of the planet. This is from the Jason Committee back in the 40s and 50s. Guys, this is what they're still doing. This is the agenda of the New World Order, is to reduce the population of the planet by hook or by crook. So guys, take it from me. Somebody's going to inject you with something you have no idea what it is. I just say no. What do you think, son?
No, you're absolutely right. I mean, there's absolutely no reason. Like you said, they're showing up with a syringe that's going into your body with a vial that you have no idea what's on it. And you're supposed to be okay with that. That's the whole concept that I've always questioned about these vaccines with these little children. You know, it's bad enough if you're an adult and you decide you want to get a flu vaccine. That's your choice. That is your choice. You're choosing to have them inject you with a flu vaccine. It's your right. If you want to do it, you can do it. Just like if somebody wants to go get hooked on heroin, it's illegal. But if they want to do it, that's their choice. You can't physically stop them unless you detain them and don't let them go anywhere for the rest of their life if that's the road they want to take. The difference is when you're doing this with 6-month, 12-month, 24-month-old children, they don't have that choice, guys. Nobody asked them, hey, do you want us to shoot you up with an MMR shot, son? It'll be good for you. It should help you. Now, the side effects may cause death and autism, possibly, maybe paralysis. You know, if that's okay with you, you want to go ahead and take it. They're not at that rational thought. They don't understand it. So the parents make that choice for them. In my opinion, if you're a parent and you choose to inject your children over and over and over again with vaccines that you know are directly linking to all kinds of health problems, including an explosion of autism in this country, you're being neglectful. Now, I'm not saying there's absolutely, you can never have a vaccine anytime in your life. I'm not saying that at all. There's some that you may find you may need if you're going to a different country. If you feel that's something you may need, then you need to evaluate it. But just blindly walking into the pediatrician every couple of months and allowing them to stick them with a hypodermic needle and put in 5, 6, 7, 8 vaccines into their little body at a time is completely and totally negligent on your part if you know what's going on and you still choose to engage in that. But as far as the CDC thing and the executive order, now we'll find out exactly what's in this. Next couple of weeks, everybody's going to get through this bill because you know how we do it in government. We pass the bill so we can read it. Now, with this, with Obama, he didn't even pass it. He just signed an executive order. So now everybody will get to read it after he's already signed it into effect, which I really don't understand that entire concept at all, how that even works legally from a constitutional standpoint, especially when it's talking about the health and well-being of United States citizens and allowing us to be vaccinated against our will with the CDC controlling that. I'm not sure how all that works. I guess this is one aspect that the founding fathers never really anticipated because, A, the vaccines had never been invented like this, and B, I don't think they ever realized that the government would reach this level where they're forcibly vaccinating people, Dad. You know, it's not, you think about back in the 1700s, this idea probably never came about yet.
No, it didn't. But there's a book you need to read, everybody. It's like a penny online to get it for a penny. It's Robert Mendelsohn, and it's called Confessions of a Medical Heretic. And what he did is he was a medical doctor, a pediatrician, and he likened the medical profession to that of a religion, in which they have the white lab coat, which is their robe. They have the stethoscope that hangs around their neck, which is their ordainment, like the Jews have the jewelry, or the Roman Catholic priests have the crosses. Basically, it's their robe, it's their regalia that they use to hypnotize the masses into thinking that they're a priest class or they're God because they hold the power over life and death. You can read his book and read all about what he thought about that. And that's why he finally said, I'm confessing as a medical heretic, I'm no longer going to be part of this priest class to bring all this death and destruction to the people. Now, the problem with most medical doctors is they buy into this lie of the priest class, and they want everybody to believe that this is who they are and what they are. That's why so many books that are written by medical doctors, you'll see them on the front cover with a white lab coat on, with a stethoscope around their neck, because that automatically gives them, quote-unquote, the symbolism of being correct and holding the powers of life and death, of being a type of priest or a lesser god with a small g. That's who we are. Now, when we gave the ability of allopathic medicine to do this back in the 20s and the 30s with the Rockefeller Industrial Complex, they got rid of all of the homeopathic medicines and naturopathic medicine people and basically put them out of business. When we gave allopathic medicine the right to do this, to treat you with drugs for the treatment of disease, and we elevated them to the status of basically being capable of having the power over life and death, we then entrust our lives to them, so we automatically take our children or ourselves to them and get injected by them every single time they tell you to take a shot, you take it. Every time they tell you to take a pill, you take it. And so what ends up happening is you get into a situation where they program you. They program you from the earliest childhood to take your vaccinations, to take your pills, to take your Prozac, to take your Zoloft, to take your statin drugs. Regardless of the side effects, regardless if there's a natural alternative, they don't care. You're programmed. This is called intermittent conditioning. That's what it's called. And what ends up happening is after a period of time, you no longer question the conditioner, the person who's telling you what to do. You just automatically do it. That's drinking the Kool-Aid. So if you're used to getting a flu shot every year and they come to your house and they say, we need to give you this injection to protect you and your family. Okay, let's do it real quick. Let's do it. Okay. Yep. You don't say, well, what's in the injection? Well, they'll say, we don't really know what's in the injection. It's to protect you. You have to take it or we're going to haul your ass off to a FEMA clamp. Excuse my language. If that's what you want, if that's what you think's okay, then you got to realize really, really fast that this is not okay. I'm not going to allow them to do that to me and my family. See, this runs deeply emotional to me because I've been involved in this particular field for the past 36 years, and I've seen what these medical doctors will do, what the AMA will do, what the FDA will do, and I've been involved in a bunch of this stuff, and they don't let you know what they're going to do to you if you don't comply, including with children now, if you don't get certain vaccines or certain things. In some states, the Department of Family Services comes right in and basically hauls your children away while they're still in the hospital with you. Guys, this is something that's happening all of the time, all over the world, all over the United States. And now Obama has just sanctioned it and given them additional authority to basically put you into quarantine and take you away. And then you'll have no choice. Then you'll be strapped down to a gurney. Remember what I talked about a few months ago, going to crime scene number two? If you get caught in a parking lot, somebody wants to carjack you, and they jump in the car with you, and they have a gun on you, do everything you possibly can to get to the highest speed you can get, put your seatbelt on, and crash into something. Because you don't want to go to crime scene number two. Because at least if you're in the parking lot of a big shopping mall, somebody's going to run over there to help you. If they take you out into a grove or into the woods somewhere, there's no telling what they're going to do to you. The same thing with a FEMA camp. At least you know your own home and you can be safe there and you can be quarantined there. That's what they told me when we refused to immunize our children and we put them into a private school. They said, and I had to get a blue letter. It was a blue form from the county health department, which gave me an immunization for religious reasons for my children. They said, well, you are aware of the fact that if we have a breakout of the measles in this area, your children will be quarantined. And I laughed at them. And I said to the lady, I said, how can we possibly have a breakout of the measles when everybody else has been vaccinated? Now, think about what I just said, guys. Think about what I just said. And she said, well, it could be the chicken pox. And I said the same thing to her. I said, how can we possibly have a breakout of chicken pox if everybody else has been vaccinated? She said, well, you know what I mean. I said, yeah, I know exactly what you mean. What you're saying is that a normal childhood disease like a measles or the chickenpox, that if you get them, you have lifetime immunity to these things. You want me to take a vaccine for that? That's going to require that I have in continual boosters the rest of that person or child's life to maintain that vaccine, to maintain that immunity. I said, vaccines don't create immunity. They don't do that. Our immune system does that. I said, this whole concept is ridiculous. And then, of course, they always get mad when you do that, because when you start asking them questions they can't answer, they don't know what to say. Now, here's another article here. Vladimir Putin to George Soros. Thank God we kicked you out of Russia. This is by Jonas Alexis. F. William Engel says, George Soros, the hedge fund speculator turned self-proclaimed philanthropist, and his tax foundations are an integral part of the preemptive war machine. It goes on to say, Russia kicked Soros out of the country last year for very, very good reasons. One, it was Soros who helped ruin the Russian and Polish economy in the early 1900s, like the great white shark. The first thing you need to know about Goldman Sachs is that it's everywhere. Talking about what's going on with Soros. He goes, the world's most powerful investment bank is a great vampire squid wrapped around the face of humanity, relentlessly jamming its blood funnel into anything that smells like money. In fact, the history of the recent financial crisis, which doubles as the history of the rapid decline and fall of the suddenly swindled dry American empire, reads like a hoo-hoo of Goldman Sachs graduates. Obviously, Soros wants to be like Goldman Sachs. Phil Butler puts it well when he says, George Soros has his finger in every political pie there is. If there's a crisis in our world, it'll be safe bet he's part of it. See, what he does, he deals with currency speculation. If he can collapse the United States and speculate on the currency, he can make hundreds of billions of dollars. That's what he does. That's why they don't want him anywhere any longer. Now, here's another interesting article from Zero Hedge. It says, Zero Hedge linked memo exposes George Soros' plan to overthrow Putin and to destabilize Russia. The recent DC leaks of over 2,500 documents from George Soros has shed a bright light on how billionaire uses his vast wealth to create global chaos in a never-ending push to deliver his neoliberal euphoria to the peasant classes. While Soros has managed to thoroughly destabilize the European Union by promoting mass migration and open borders, divide the United States by actively funding Black Lives Matters and MoveOn.org, and disrupting and corrupting every corruptible U.S. political class, and he's destroyed the Ukraine by pushing for an illegal coup of a democratically elected government using neo-Nazi strongmen, one country that Soros has not been able to crack has been the Russian Federation. Russia's political pragmatism and humanistic value system, rooted in a traditional nation-state culture, most likely infuriates Soros. So it goes on to say, then all of a sudden another article here from the USDefenseWatch.com, it says that Putin has issued an international arrest warrant for George Soros, dead or alive. Now guys, mainstream media is not covering this. Russia has officially cleared that billionaire George Soros is a wanted man in their country, citing him and his organizations as a threat to Russian national security. Putin banned Soros from Russia last year due to the fact that he helped nearly destroy Russia in the 1990s. Matt Taibbi of Rolling Stone said of Goldman Sachs that basically the blood funnel, he quotes that same article again. But guys, this is interesting to me that if this is true and Putin's actually issued an arrest warrant, dead or alive, I hope it's going to be the dead part. I mean, this guy is bad news and he needs to go away. He's just all, but again, remember, he is a front man, a cutout, a paper cutout of Goldman Sachs, paper cutout of the Rothschild banking cartel. They all work together in their enslavement of humanity. Austin, what do you think?
No, you're absolutely right. I can't blame Putin on that at all. Here's another article. Now, this is very interesting because it's tying gut health and gut bacteria and constipation now. They're actually linking this back to a much, much higher risk of kidney disease. And this is why it's so important, guys, and I've told you guys this over and over again, to make sure you're getting adequate fiber in your diet on a regular basis. You cannot be eating starch all the time. You also have to make sure you stay very hydrated, especially in the winter months right now. The thing about it is most people don't realize they start getting constipated until they're already very, very constipated. Now, the thing about this is we have the Aloe V Forte, which is a very good product in the intestinal cleaner that can help with that. But in general, you also want to make sure you're eating a lot of vegetables every day. You're getting a lot of fiber in your body because this is something that's literally tying back to every area of your body. I think who was it, V.E. Irons said, what, death begins in the colon, didn't he say, he only said that, Deb?
Yeah, he does. The biggest problem we have in the colon is this. It's called fecal transit time. Now, let me give you a little bit of physiology here real quick. Now, what that simply means is how long it takes from you to eat your food for it to be transferred through your body. Well, what happens, it goes through your esophagus, you chew it, you have an enzyme called salivary amylase, which helps digest the starches as you chew, then it goes into your stomach, it hits the hydrochloric acid. If there's not enough hydrochloric acid, you'll end up with acid reflux because the esophageal sphincter won't close off. That's why it's very important to make sure you have enough digestive enzymes in your diet. Then it goes into the small intestine, but before it goes into the small intestine, it has to pass through by the common bile duct, which releases bile, which neutralizes the acidity, so it can go into the small intestine and be absorbed without burning the intestinal tract. There it goes through the like 15, 20, 30 feet or whatever, as I don't remember, of small intestine. From there it goes into like the 7 feet of the colon. Now the colon's interesting because here's the colon. It absorbs about 70% of the body's water back through the large intestine, back through the portal vein, back into the liver. Now when this happens, it has to have sufficient quantities of fiber in that colon or the stuff gets gooey and stays inside of the intestinal tract and you get constipated and then it starts to ferment and you start having gas. And when that starts to happen, your body starts to pull the water back through the colon, but it's also pulling toxins with the water and your body goes into a concept called auto-intoxication. That's why it's so important that the bowels have to move two or three times a day, not two or three times a week, not once a week. I knew a woman in Tallahassee. It was like once a month, twice a month, she'd have a bowel movement. And she was one of the sickest human beings I've ever met in my whole life. Always sick, always miserable, always felt bad, always felt bloated. Well, of course she would because all of that food is still in her. Give me an example. Take all of your food that you eat for a week. Throw a little bit of hydrochloric acid in it, throw it into a garbage can, let it sit there for 2 weeks and open the lid. See what that smells like. That's what happens to the inside of your intestinal tract. That's why it's so important that you've got to maintain a very fast fecal transit time. Not diarrhea, but it's got to pass through you. One of the easiest ways to test this is to eat some organic corn and see how long it takes that corn to come back out the other end. I know that sounds kind of gross, but we're talking about something gross, so that's what we're going to talk about. And so what it does, it shouldn't take more than 24 hours for that corn to come back out. If it takes 2, 3, 4 days, your system's pretty plugged up. Now, we got multiple products that will help that. Water helps a lot. Fiber helps a lot. Vegetables help a lot. Eating apples helps a lot. All that stuff with high fiber will help, but we have a really high quality fiber product that's amazing, and we've got another product called Atrialo that's amazing too, and what it does as far as decreasing fecal transit time. Now, if you take these products on a regular basis, if you've got a problem with constipation, you avoid the auto-intoxication. Now, V.E. Irons, who Austin quoted earlier, lived to be over 100 years old, and he said, quote, death begins in the colon. And the reason that happens is because of auto-intoxication and putrefaction of the stuff in the intestinal tract, poisoning the entire body systemically. That's why it's very, very important that you use the bathroom 2 to 3 times a day. I mean, you can literally say this, also. The U.S. is plugged up from the East Coast to the West Coast when it comes to bowel movements. It's true because of the lack of fiber, because of the GMO foods, because of all the junk we put into our bodies. It's not healthy. That's one of the reasons we have our GHI cleanse, which is one I take it every single day. It's GHI for gastrointestinal, H is for hepatic for liver, and I is for intestinal. And what it goes through the entire system and helps to cleanse your body out. See, that's why it's so important that your bowels move on an ongoing basis, that you have enough water in your diet, distilled water, reverse osmosis water, not fluoride and chlorine water, none of that, because you've got to keep your body pure. And what I always tell folks about the distillation systems that we use, I always say this, either use a filter or be a filter. Either you're going to filter this trash out of your water through your kidneys and through your body, or you can filter it out before you put it into your body. It's a lot easier, the latter. That's what we've been doing now for almost 35 years. So guys, please, listen to me. Make sure your bowels move on a regular basis. If they don't, you're going to massively increase the risks of colon and rectal cancer, and you're going to massively increase the risks of breast cancer. Yes, constipation has been linked to breast cancer. A lot of people, the only time they use the bathroom, Austin, is when they get up in the morning and they drink coffee, because coffee has a tendency to cause what's called a peristaltic wave to go through the intestinal tract, which cleans out the intestinal tract. If you are addicted to coffee and you stop drinking coffee and you stop using the bowel moves like you're supposed to, get yourself on digestive enzymes, get on our fiber product, and also get on the Atrialo, and it'll be amazed how quickly all that stuff will get better. It's almost immediate.
Oh, yeah, and a good thing also, too, is the probiotic blend or the probiotic 100 billion. The reason why is a lot of times if you are constipated, you are already significantly messing up your entire gut microbe as far as what type of bacteria you have in the body. So when you cleanse out completely, it's very important you get that back in there. But that's what they were saying in this article, is they were showing the people that were patients that were constipated. They did a data of over 3.5 million people that had almost a 20% more likely chance to develop chronic kidney disease and 9% likely to develop kidney failure. And it's what Dad just said. The body is not ridding itself of the toxins through the colon, so it's having to constantly basically recycle it is what it's doing, guys, essentially, to make it simple. And
let me explain that real quick. What happens when you get the blood gets contaminated is what it is. And now it could be if the body can't get rid of it through the colon, it recontaminates the blood by going back through the liver. When that happens, the kidneys have to get rid of it. It also causes real bad breath and real bad body odor. Because the skin is the largest organ of the body, and it will start eliminating the poisons through the skin. So you have real bad breath, real bad body odor, and real dark, really bad smelling urine. That's what happens when your body's going through auto intoxication. That's why you're getting kidney damage from that. And the 100 billion product that we have for the acidophilus is like the highest you're going to find anywhere. People brag, we got a million, we got 100 billion. And what it does, it restores the intestinal balance in the intestinal floor, because here's why. When your colon gets plugged up, you have a tendency to get yeast infections, and the yeast will overwhelm the body's own natural organisms and its own acidophilus. So you've got to restore that back in. Also, you've got to cut back on the sugar, because the sugar is what feeds the yeast. But guys, thank you so much for supporting Health Masters. Thank you so much for listening to our show. Thank you so much for just being there for us. Thank you for all the wonderful emails you send us. We love you guys. I thank you so much for getting our multiple vitamins. And we put them on special this week. We've been selling those like crazy, because everybody uses a multiple vitamin. If you guys can just do that, it'll just keep this show going. So we love you. We appreciate you. Austin, I'm going to go ahead and let you close. I'll talk to you guys tomorrow. Thanks so much. Bye-bye.
Absolutely, guys. Yeah, the Ultimate Multiples, obviously, it's always a big hit. That's why I told you on the show last week when it went on sale, I knew everybody was going to like that quite a bit because of the sale that we put it on. Right now, I think product of the week coming up, chelation therapy, which our healthy mineral profile support, that product's very good for basically cleaning out calcium in the arteries and also cleaning out heavy metals and toxins in the blood and the arterial walls. So if you guys need anything, check us out at healthmasters.com. You can email us there on your contact form, or you can call us on our website number as well, healthmasters.com. You guys have a safe, blessed night, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow.